Good evening, everyone. I know this is something different and a little strange compared to the way we usually do things, but we're trying to make this as normal as possible and help us all to keep our minds on the most important things while everything around us is changing and the future is a little uncertain. I pray that all of you are physically and emotionally well for now, and of course, spiritually. The format of this study is for families to gather together and listen while following along with the class material found on the same page as this audio file. If you cannot see that while listening, you might want to stop listening and print it out or open up the material in another browser window so that you can follow along. I will note the times that you should stop and read a text with a brief pause following that to mark the point. You can stop the audio while you read the texts and resume when you are done reading. You might also stop after some of the questions to take time to answer among your group or to discuss those questions. Now, obviously, I won't be able to interact with you while you are listening to this. So for this lesson, any questions from the listeners will have to be deferred until later. Or for children, hopefully your parents can answer the questions. We're looking into platforms that may enable us to do interactive Bible studies in the future. And we will inform everyone when and if that happens and what to do and how to do it. Thank you again for your patience and your understanding as we're trying to find ways that we can stay connected in whatever way we safely can. We do not want anyone's health put at risk, but neither do we want anyone to feel isolated or left out of anything. Rest assured that we will help any of our members to be able to participate and to interact in whatever way they need assistance or direction. So with all that said, let's get into the study. Open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Let's take a look at a time when God's people were also displaced and unable to worship God as they were used to, and what some of the faithful ones did in those circumstances. As the story begins, Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Judah and taken some of the articles from the temple back to the region around Babylon called Shinar. That's recorded in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We also see that he took some of the best people of the land back with him and instructed the master of the eunuchs, or servants, to bring the good-looking and intelligent ones into his palace to learn the language and literature of the Chaldeans, as noted in verses 3 and 4. And so this is where the story of Daniel begins, because he was one of those young men brought into the palace to learn and serve the king. Now the first point I want us to notice for tonight's study that relates to our current situation is the forced change that they had to go through. Now for the Jews, before we talk about the change, I want us to go back and look at a law that was given to the Israelites in the law of Moses. And that law said that all males were to appear at the place of the Lord's choosing for the three feasts, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. This time, pause and read Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 17, Exodus 34, verses 23 and 24, and Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Again, Exodus 23, 14 through 17, chapter 34, verses 23 and 24, and then Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Now, the most likely place for this gathering would be the tabernacle or temple, due to the necessity of sacrifices and an altar needed to make those sacrifices. So when everyone lived in Israel and Judah, the usual practice was for all males to travel to Jerusalem those three times a year for the feast, regardless of where they lived. Some would naturally have to travel farther than others because that's where they lived, but this was the way it was, and they were used to that. Now, for our situation today, we don't have to travel to Jerusalem, obviously, but here's a question. Where do we go for worship, and how often? Think also about this. How far do some people have to drive to get to the assembly? Well, just like Israel and Judah, not everyone lives the same distance away, so some travel is going to be farther for some to get to the building for Bible classes and for worship. This is what we're used to doing. But here's a problem. For the Israelites, they couldn't keep this commandment because the males could not travel to Jerusalem while they were in captivity. As we read at the beginning of this story, Daniel, his companions, and many others were taken from their homeland to Babylon, which is about 600 miles away from Jerusalem. And in captivity, they didn't have the freedom to return to Jerusalem and worship as God had commanded them by law. So here's a question. How do you think Daniel and other men who were captive in Babylon felt about not being able to travel back for the three feasts? Well, most likely, the faithful ones wanted to keep the law, and so they were probably anguished over the fact that they could not, that there was nothing that they could do about it. Well, what about our situation today? Our circumstances, of course, are different, but the fact is we are in a situation where it is simply not wise to meet together as we usually do, and that's for the health of others, not just for ourselves. Those in the medical field have determined that we put others at risk of infection by meeting together and doing things as we always had, at least for now. Now, hopefully this will change before too long, but for now we're not meeting like we are used to. So here's a question for you. How do you feel about that? And how do you think others feel about that? I'm sure that if you're one of the ones listening to this, you're probably like me and you would rather be able to meet in a place where all of us can get together and see those smiling faces and shake hands and give hugs, but we cannot do that. Second thing we need to think about in this story of Daniel and regarding our situation is how God viewed this situation. And the first thing I want us to think about in considering this is his view of the faithful ones. And let's think about Daniel and his companions. We know the story of Daniel, which we'll note a couple of things in a few minutes. But here's the question. How did God view Daniel and his companions during this time? Well, we don't really have to guess about what God thinks, because God gives us a clear view of what he thought about Daniel in another book. Take a moment and turn to Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and read verses 14 through 20. Ezekiel 14, verses 14 through 20. Now, from these words, we can see that Daniel was named among three people who were acknowledged by God as righteous people. God said this about Daniel, though he was in captivity and for most of his life, unable to keep some of the law as God had commanded. God clearly identified Daniel as righteous, even though he wasn't keeping all the commandments. Why was that? Well, let's think about our situation today. Again, our situation is a little different, but we were essentially unable to meet together for now and worship and study God's Word together as we normally would. Even though we may want to, we are not, and it is unwise to do so while this virus is still spreading. So here's a question. How does God view us during this time? And is it any different than with Daniel? Now, there's a few things I want us to think about when we think about these two situations and our current situation, particularly at this moment. First thing I want us to think is we need to keep in mind that this is not a case of forsaking the assembly where some want to run to Hebrews 10, verse 25. That's often cited. But I want us to understand that no one that I know of is willfully abandoning the assembly in this case, but many are striving simply to find alternate means of worshiping and studying God's Word. Second thing is here, neither is this recommendation and mandates of government to be seen as some form of persecution. This isn't that at all, and we should not even really mention persecution by government and this situation in the same conversation. They are not the same. And the last thing is we should not be thinking about this being a case of not having enough faith or being too afraid and not trusting in God. This is called being wise and being considerate of others. Remember that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13 verse 10 that love does no harm to a neighbor. So the efforts that are being done here are just for that purpose, to not harm our neighbors, and we're talking about even those beyond our brethren here at Avenue Inn. The second thing I want us to note about God's view here is that he looked upon this situation with mercy and that he showed allowances for those affected. And when we're thinking about Daniel and the captive Israelites, we know again that they were not able to keep God's command, but the faithful ones still wanted to. Well, let's not ever forget that God is not just concerned for what we do outwardly and visibly, but more so what is in our hearts. At this time, stop and read 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Now in that text, the context was Samuel was going to anoint a man to replace Saul as king. And we know that would be David. But when he went to Jesse's household, he saw some, and by outward appearances, Samuel believed that there were a couple of them that would certainly be worthy of kings. But God told him in verse 7 that God doesn't look on man like man looks on man. God looks at the heart. So God, in the case of Daniel and the captive Israelites, he knew the heart of the faithful Israelites and at the same time knew their situation and the limitations they had that were beyond their control. And let's not forget that, after all, it was he who was the one who allowed them to go into captivity. He knew even better than they did that things would be different for at least 70 years. During this period of captivity, God was merciful toward the captives, and allowances were made because of those circumstances. There is no record anywhere in the Old Testament, especially during this time of captivity, of God punishing or even chastising any Israelite who was in captivity because they couldn't keep certain commandments. Now let's think about our situation today. Again, our situation is different than Daniel's, but it seems that God still knows the hearts of men, does he not? And he knows what we would be doing if we could. He knows the situation we are currently in, and even better than we do. He knows those who are anguishing over not being able to meet with their brethren and carry on as normal. He also knows those who might be thinking this is a vacation from any responsibilities, and he knows who's who. We really need to not look at God like the Pharisees did, with God as some overbearing power who's just waiting for us to slip up so he can find reason for punishing us. Let's never forget that our God is, as the psalmist wrote, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And that's found in Psalm 103, verses 8 and 14. As long as our hearts are right during this time, when some things are out of our hands, out of our control, God will show mercy and he will make allowances for us too. Now the last thing I want us to think about in these two situations, both with Daniel and the captive Israelites and with us in our current situation, is taking a look at the lives of the faithful. What were they doing during this time? Well, the first thing they were doing was continuing to live faithfully. When we look at Daniel and his companions, we can see small picture of what people were doing in captivity. And obviously we don't have a record of all the Israelites who were in captivity or what they were doing, or even all the faithful ones and what they were doing. But we have a small picture of the Israelites and the lives of a few faithful ones, and I think they're worthy of note. Of course, Daniel is the most prominent, and we see from early on, back in chapter 1, that he determined to continue serving the Lord and keeping what commands he could keep. Read at this time, chapter 1, verses 5 through 16. Now Daniel, in that case, though he was far from home and unable to keep some commands, could still control what he ate, and so he refused the things that he knew would defile him. Daniel may not have been able to keep all commandments, but what he could keep, he did keep. Let's also think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, very familiar to all of us. In chapter 3, go ahead and turn over in your Bibles. In chapter 3, we know the story about Nebuchadnezzar had set up an idol and put it in a place where it was very visible to all the citizens. We know that he also made a command that whenever the music was played, that everybody was supposed to bow and worship to this idol. We also know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to do that. We also know that the report of that was brought to King Nebuchadnezzar, which made him very angry. So he brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him and gave them a second chance. But they essentially told him, as recorded in verses 16 through 18, that they were not going to bow down to this idol regardless. They served the one true and living God. Though they were in captivity and unable to keep some commands like Daniel, they still had control over who or what they worshipped, and so they refused to bow to this idol, even if it cost them their lives. And the last example I want us to look at is, again, that of Daniel and his faithfulness as recorded in chapter 6. The faithfulness in prayer, particularly the very thing that got him sent to the lion's den. Read chapter 6, verse 10 in particular. Even though Daniel was far from home, he still prayed to God regularly, and he continued doing this even when a law was written that forbid it, even when he knew that law was written. He was willing to go to the lion's den because this is not just what he did, this is who he was. So let's think about our situation today. And again, of course, our situation is not exactly like that of Israel in captivity, but we do have limitations and restrictions that are in place for our safety. First thing I want us to think about here is don't try to equate Daniel's choice to face the lions over stopping praying with our situation exactly. Daniel did choose the lions over not praying, but he didn't let the lions out of the den loose onto others to endanger them. The choice we are faced with today is one that is not just a danger to ourselves or not, but one where our choice may adversely affect others. So here's the question for us, though. What are we doing now in this situation? Are we continuing to do the things that we can do for the Lord and for others? God may show mercy for the things that are out of our control, yes, but he still expects us to do what we can do, and that's what we should be doing. And the final thing I want us to think about this evening as we look at these two examples, that of Daniel and the captive Israelites and our situation today, is that we just need to keep praying. That's what faithful disciples will do. And as far as Daniel, I believe this is one of the most obvious things that Daniel did. Got him into trouble. Got him put into the lion's den. Praying. That's the only thing these government officials could find on Daniel, that he prayed to his God 3 times a day. But we, as we read in chapter 6 and verse 10, this was something that he did, as was his custom since early days. So let me ask you a question. What do you think he prayed for? Well, knowing Daniel as we do in the scriptures, knowing that he was a righteous man, I imagine his prayer is worthy of study. Now, we don't have necessarily those prayers, but we do have one of his prayers recorded in chapter 9, verses 4 through 19. At this time, read that prayer. If you look at all those words, what you see here is what we might rightly call the prayer of a righteous man. Daniel was concerned not just for himself, but for all of his people. He recognized his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the people. He also recognized the faithfulness of God, the righteousness of God, and the justice of God. Certainly is a prayer that could be prayed even today. But what about our situation? Well, prayer is still much needed today, and especially in this current situation. And with that being the case, I want to leave two things with you before we close to pray for during this time. Number one, pray for your leaders. Paul urged Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, in the first two verses, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Brethren, that is still needed today, and especially today in these situations, this strange situation. I want you to also remember your spiritual leaders, because they're having to make decisions today that I imagine none of them could have ever pictured them having to do in times past. Please keep them in your prayers, because they're having to make some difficult decisions that there's no easy answers. And finally, pray for peace of mind. Paul also wrote in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Brethren, that is still needed today, and especially today. We still need peace of mind. Don't forget to take these concerns to God in prayer, because it's only then that we can have that peace of God, and our hearts will be guarded through Christ Jesus. Now, I know these times are strange and different and maybe a little bit unnerving, but the necessary changes that have been enacted are just different, and they will hopefully be short-lived. As for us, those who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, and for those of you particularly at the Avenue Inn Church of Christ, keep serving the Lord as best as you can, Keep praying for those who need your prayers, including yourself. And keep watching out for and loving one another as we should be doing all the time. Keep connected. Do all that you can so we can let our light shine in this dark time.